Hey friends, this is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal. Dr. Teal, let's take a little shift from prophecy today to talk about the simplicity of Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of the phrase, the simplicity of Christ?
Well, the Bible gives the answer to that. But first, I'd like to start out by reading something that the Apostle Paul wrote, which is where the expression simplicity in Christ comes from. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 2, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version of the Bible. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent, meaning Satan, deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you've not received, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. Sadly, many who profess Christianity don't understand that. Now, related to the simplicity that's in Jesus to Christ goes, I want to read something else the Apostle Paul wrote that's in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Though he were a son, reference to Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Notice that according to the Apostle Paul, obedience is a salvation issue. Jesus obeyed and suffered and became perfect. Jesus will provide eternal salvation for those that obey him. Is that simple enough?
Yes, that's simple enough. However, what is required of obedience? Is obedience complicated?
Well, to obey, you need to do what the Word of God says. But sadly, many who claim Christianity don't understand that. They don't understand because they tend to teach a different Jesus. They don't believe they need to obey him as he obeyed his Father's commandments. And they've adopted many practices that neither Jesus nor his original faithful followers engaged in. And by the way, most of those who do teach that they're supposed to obey something reason around the obedience in ways similar to those of the ancient Pharisees who Jesus denounced in Matthew chapter 15. The reality is that most who profess Christianity in today's world don't adhere to what the original apostles taught. There have been councils of men, ecclesiastical politics, theological interpretations, worldly philosophy, higher criticism, etc. These all had their part in complicating the simple beliefs and practices of original Christianity. Yet, as the Apostle Jude exhorted true Christians, verse 3 of his book, we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Sadly, even by the time of Jude and Paul, false teachings and wrong philosophical influences began to push forth a corrupt religion that began to call itself Christian. Yet the relationship of Christians with Jesus is not complicated or confusing. It's simple and profound. I want to read some things the Apostle Peter said or wrote related to this. This is from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, I want to go a few chapters down to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. This I'm going to read from the AFV. It says, "Peter and the apostles said, we are obligated to obey God rather than men." So, okay, as Christians, they are obligated to obey God. Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Him has God exalted by his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance and remission of sins to Israel. And we are his witnesses of these things, as is also the Holy Spirit, which God has given to those who obey him."
Just how are we to obey God? In what way are we to obey him? And is there more than one way to obey him?
Well, in the New Testament, Christianity is called the way. Well, there's God's way, and all the other ways aren't God's way. By obeying God, real Christians live the way of love that results from keeping his commandments, that you can read about, for example, in James chapter 2, verse 8. Now, I want to read something else the Apostle Paul wrote. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he wrote, "Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Now, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, said, "You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures the end will be saved." Then in Matthew 19, verse 17, Jesus said, "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." So notice that Jesus is talking about those who already claim him, yet they need to endure to the end to be saved. Hence, Jesus made it clear that just claiming his name is not enough. And he also said, those who want eternal life are to keep the commandments. You know, basically, if we continue to strive to keep God's loving commandments until our physical life ends, we are to attain salvation if we repented, etc. And scripture teaches that will happen at the first resurrection, which you read about in 1 Corinthians 15 or Revelation 20. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 7. And starting verse 21, Jesus is saying that just calling him Lord or thinking that God's used you to do something does not make you a Christian. Here's what Jesus said. "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord," so these people are calling Jesus Lord, "shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" He said, "Yeah, sure, I'll accept you for that." "No," he said, "and I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."
But how does someone actually practice lawlessness?
By not obeying God and hence becoming a slave to sin. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In John 15, verse 9, he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So, yes, those who love Jesus keep the commandments. Now, I want to go over something that the late pastor general of the old Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, said about this. He quotes 2 Corinthians 11 and says, "There were those coming to preaching of Jesus that did away with his Father's law and his commandments, even though Jesus said he kept his Father's commandments." He says that many came in the name of Jesus, preaching Jesus as the Christ, basically saying the law is done away. Herbert Armstrong said, "That's a different Jesus, a smart aleck Jesus that supposedly knew more than his Father, did away with his Father's law. This isn't the real Jesus. The real Jesus kept his Father's commandments and told us to do the same thing." He said, "You can go and read that in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what he said and did."
So then would it be accurate to say that those that worship a different Jesus are those that practice lawlessness, that is, disobey the Ten Commandments, and the ones that have faith in the Savior of humanity are those that practice the law of love as outlined by the Ten Commandments?
Yes. Herbert Armstrong, you know, made some other comments about this. He went into 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and talked about others out there who are false apostles, deceitful, but they transfer themselves into the apostles of Christ. And I get emails all the time from people who are convinced somebody who practices lawlessness is God's person for one reason or another. Either he does miracles or they made some prediction or they like his style or whatever, or they are moved by it. But they're not apostles of Christ. Anyway, getting back to the scripture here, it says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing his ministers are also transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." And regarding the simplicity in Christ, I want to read something else that Herbert Armstrong said. This was in a radio broadcast around 1960. "The simplicity that's in Christ, 2 Corinthians 11, 3. It's very simple, my friends. The thing is, obey God. You have to surrender your way. You have to give up the traditions of the people and of the time and turn to the ways of God." We can't say, "Oh, well, now we're in the 21st century, so we can sin and advocate various sins." No, no. So Herbert Armstrong says it's quite simple. And Jesus came and died for us because we transgressed his ways, and to pay the penalty for our transgressions in our stead. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a Savior, but you do need a Savior because of your disobedience. Jesus died to take away your past sins and your guilt, and to reconcile you to God so you can receive God's Holy Spirit and the love that will fulfill his law to make it possible for you to live love God. Now, Satan, the Bible tells us in Revelation 12:9, deceives the whole world. Satan does not want us to obey, and he doesn't want you to obey. Now, information about what to obey and how many have reasoned around it, as well as some prophecies about the Antichrist not obeying the Ten Commandments, are in our free online booklet called The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, Christianity, the Beast, which you can find at ccog.org. Now, I want to read an incomplete and improper view of simplicity from a Protestant by the name of David Stewart. Here's what he wrote. The simplicity that's in Christ, which is in the gospel. The Word of God plainly teaches that it's simple to get saved. How simple is it? Very, very, very simple. I mean, it's so simple, be summed up in one word, believe. It's simple, free, easy to be saved. You don't have to have be a theologian to be saved, just believe. Believe means to trust. Adding even the slightest human effort will cancel one's faith, such as sacraments, prayer, or good works. Either Jesus did all the saving, or you don't get saved.
But that seems deceitful for Mr. Stewart to claim that even the effort of praying will cancel our faith. How do you respond to that claim?
Well, Jesus prayed, and he taught his followers to pray. And so that's absurd what he's saying. And, you know, while we are saved by grace through faith and not works, it does require some human effort to obey. Obeying doesn't cancel one's faith, but it clearly demonstrates that faith is real. As far as belief goes, I want to go to James chapter 2, starting in verse 19, to go over some things the Apostle James taught here. It says, you believe there's one God. Well, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. But don't you know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? He talks about Abraham being justified by works. And he says, verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with works? So obviously it doesn't cancel it out, like Protestants said. And by works, faith was made perfect. You see, verse 24 then, that man is justified by works and not by faith only. Anyway, the demons believe and they don't obey. Protestant reformer Martin Luther already didn't like James's epistle. He called it an epistle of straw because he wouldn't accept verses like in James chapter 2.
So how would you tie faith and obedience together?
Well, it takes faith to truly obey. And if you will not obey, you don't have the right kind of faith. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the New Testament makes it clear that Christians are, quote, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A Christian is simply one who believes the Bible and has God's Spirit. And he believes, obey, and they follow the lead and example of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. But we refuse to accept any traditions of men that are contrary to it. Sadly, that's not the case with over 99% of the people who claim Christianity. You know, Christianity has a simplicity. Strive to obey God and live his way of love. Any other way is not the simplicity of Christ.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. Our featured book for today is The Ten Commandments, The Decalogue, Christianity, and the Beast. To receive a free, no obligation copy of this literature, go to our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net, scroll down and click on the link for free online books and download the featured book. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.